141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set to switch from European football back to the domestic stuff. Michael Beale says he sees Kamar Roof and Tom Lawrence as starters, not backup, but is at the end of the road for Kamara and Hadji. Celtic close in on the signing of Luis Palma, but who plays at the back tomorrow? And a big night on the continent last night with Aberdeen in a good position against Haken. Well, Hearts have a bit more to do heading to Greece. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans.
If I was going to summarise our European week, Gordon, I would say that Rangers and Aberdeen have a 50-50 chance of getting to where they want to get to in their respective European competitions. Hibs are out, for sure. I'm sorry, I think Hearts are out as well. I think the one goal deficit and what awaits them in Greece will be too much for Frankie McAvoy's side. Then, of course, we have the Champions League draw on Thursday. I think the Celtic fans will be looking at that through the cracks in their fingers because they are in deep trouble defensively. How will that affect them against St Johnstone tomorrow? That remains to be seen. But with Rangers at Dingwall before the Celtic game kicks off, we could have quite a Saturday in our hands.
It's been quite the week, Cammy Bell, against the backdrop of a transfer window being open, big domestic games tomorrow. And it's been a decent week, sorry Hibs fans, but apart from that, a decent week in Europe as well.
Yeah, for me, quite a positive week for Scottish teams in European competitions. We've got three teams that are absolutely well within their ties. It's going to be difficult for Hearts going away to Greece, but I still think they've got enough to do it and get a good win over there. Rangers certainly have enough to do it. They're going to have to put an almighty performance in to get that result. And then Aberdeen have just brought themselves right back in it, 2-0 down, and then managed to get a draw over there and bring it back to Pittodrie. So, looking forward to next week.
Come on then, 01419511025. What is on your mind tonight? Maybe you do want to reflect on European performances, so we'd be looking at you, Aberdeen fans and Hearts fans, particularly last night. What did you make of the performances and how does it set you up for next week here in Glasgow and the West? Clearly, Celtic and Rangers never far from the headlines. So what are you thinking tomorrow, Celtic fans? Who plays at the back then? Lagar Bielka, we assume. Who else? Who else fills in there? Is it important to get someone in there and try and get them embedded into the way of things? Or are you just banking on a new signing, a new experienced signing coming in very soon to save the day? Who plays at the back tomorrow? Luis Palma, that deal is getting closer, set to arrive in Glasgow in the not too distant future. So again, what do you make of that? I think it's today, isn't it? 1 week until transfer deadline day, and we might have quite a busy week next week. So this would be a good point for you Celtic fans. In the next week, what are you looking for? 7 days to go, get your wish list in. Rangers fans, from PSV Eindhoven to Dingwall, is that the type of fixture that still gives you a bit of fear when you consider some of the domestic performances at the start of the season? Or can you take positives from Europe into that one? Do you want to see the squad rotated? There's been a lot said about PSV having a free weekend and Rangers don't. Yanis Hadji, Glenn Kamara, are these the guys that are heading towards the exit? Michael Beale says Tom Lawrence and Kamar Roof are considered starters for him, so would you like to see them given significant game time? And anything else that's out there at all, we've got a great weekend ahead, so pick up that phone right now if you can. 0141 951 1025.
I think Michael Beale will juggle with the squad in Dingwall tomorrow, perhaps not to the extent that he did against Morton last weekend where he left out 8 players, but I think Tom Lawrence and Kamar Roof might just start that game. Of course, Michael Beale wanted the game called off. In an ideal world, he would want a weekend off to prepare for a European tie, but he can't get it off, and tomorrow he will have to negotiate a tricky Ross County side who, although they lived dangerously against Airdrie last weekend in the Viaplay Cup, they did get there in the end, an Eamon Brophy goal. Celtic have to be mindful of that match. If Rangers should drop anything, what an almighty chance they have been given to extend their 3-point lead over Rangers. As for the central defensive pairing, there's only one man, Liam Scales. He's the only one left. Kobayashi is injured. Tomoki Iwata has played in that position, but never convincingly. So I think you have to go for a conventional defender like Liam Scales alongside Lagerbielka, who, let's not forget, will be having his Celtic Park debut.
Yeah.
And the first thing he did at Kilmarnock was put the ball out the park because he looked to be nervous. No room for nerves tomorrow.
What do you think, Celtic fans? You'll disagree with what Hugh says some way. You'll find a way. You'd rather stick Kyogo back there than have Hugh proven correct, I suspect. So who plays at the back tomorrow? Give us all your thoughts on that situation that's been brewing this week. Luis Palma set to join the club. Have you done your research? And what do you want within the next week? 01419511025. Big games, Cammy, as Hugh says, kicking off at Dingwall. And I'm fascinated by just how important the start to the week is, start to the season is, sorry, for some of our Scottish clubs. You take the week that's just passed for Rangers, three games in three different competitions, all as important as each other in their own way. You can't go out the cup to Morton. You've got the financial stuff with the Champions League qualifier, and they're already 3 points behind Celtic. So Ross County, they quite simply have to win. Oh, and then the next week isn't exactly quiet either, because there's PSV again, and in case you hadn't heard, they play Celtic next weekend. So it's an incredible month ahead.
Yeah, listen, it's been an incredible start for Rangers. It's been a little bit up and down. The performances haven't been inspiring so far on a number of occasions. I felt as if they were good in the tie on Tuesday night. Listen, that Kilmarnock away game at Rugby Park, the first game of the season, has really hurt them and put them under pressure. Tomorrow's a massive match. They cannot drop any points tomorrow at all, which is going to be a really tough tie at Ross County. They've scored a lot of goals at the start of this season, so they are a threat. They've got a number of players up there, Jordan White, Simon Murray, Brophy, going forward. So Rangers are going to have to be up for it, and then they've got to prepare themselves for another massive European tie midweek.
Yeah, I mean, you have all sorts of scenarios that are possible. Imagine if Rangers did drop anything against Ross County and Celtic beat St Johnstone, who are winless in the last five games, haven't scored in the last two, are bottom of the league. Rangers could be facing Celtic at Ibrox, hoping not to fall 9 points behind.
Did you just say that because they have the harder fixture tomorrow? Is that the obvious?
It should be the harder fixture by far. St Johnstone have had a turbulent start to the season. Their Viaplay Cup section was nothing other than an unqualified disaster. They could be playing up to three or four low knees tomorrow, making their debut at Celtic Park. Then what was difficult? Difficult for Celtic, difficult for Rangers. I remember a Rangers 3-3 draw there last season.
Listen, Rangers, what they face tomorrow is a team that will be very well organised under an organised manager, Malky Mackay. I think you look at the flip side, you've got a young manager at St Johnstone who's just taken over. They've started really, really poorly, St Johnstone, this season. So for me, that's going to be, I think we'd all be shocked if Celtic don't take away the 3 points. So it's a really sticky tie for Rangers tomorrow, and one that Michael Beale, as he's expressed, didn't want to face, but he has to face it and he has to get 3 points.
Come on then, 01419511025. That is the number Ross has dialed. Ross, how are you tonight? What are you thinking?
Hi Gordon, Hugh and Cammy, hope you're all well.
Good, thanks.
No, I'm looking forward to the game tomorrow. I think Celtic need to win tomorrow, which I think they will. But I think right now, after last weekend, the Celtic fans are a wee bit uneasy about the team at the moment. I think defensively we look very, very poor. So I think other than a comfortable win tomorrow, going to Ibrox next weekend, the Celtic fans won't accept that. I think we need to win by maybe three or four goals tomorrow.
The thing about our league, Hugh, this is nothing new. We've sort of been here before. Even if one of the big two, and Celtic in this case, even if they are in a stickier spot, even if they are dealing with injuries, even if they've got other priorities, it's these home games against teams like St Johnstone, and I'm sorry, St Johnstone fans, I don't mean it to be disrespectful, that, as Ross says, you still find it hard to imagine any difficulty. And by the way, call up on Monday if that's wrong, but as we sit here on Friday night anyway.
There ought not to be too much difficulty. I wouldn't say there would be no difficulty, because if you are playing a central defensive partnership which is made up of someone who only came into the country 10 days ago and has never played at Celtic Park, and another one who was on loan at Aberdeen last season and would probably be back at Aberdeen by this time were it not for the fact that Celtic have a defensive crisis. And I don't think crisis is an exaggeration, because Celtic played two Sunday games one at Aberdeen, one at Kilmarnock, and on each occasion lost a central defender for 2 months because of injury. Tomorrow falls into the category of surely not for Celtic. You know, surely you can't slip up at home against a St Johnstone side as poor as they are. But Ross will go along there and he'll be sitting among fans who are expectant but agitated at the same time by the start.
That may well be the case about the defence, Cammy, but the challenge is going to be for St Johnstone. Can you have the ball and can you put it in an area near those guys then to even try and take advantage of any weakness?
Yeah, listen, I was at the Kilmarnock game last weekend and that's as poor a Celtic performance I've seen for a long time. Going forward defensively, looked very, very nervous, and it was against a Kilmarnock team that were very organised and always carried a threat. They've got some good players this season, so don't underestimate how good they were. I think it'll be different tomorrow. I think Celtic, as you say, will have a lot of possession, and it's up to St Johnstone and Stephen McLean to set up his team and try and hurt Celtic, which, listen, I don't think they've got the quality to go and do that. I expect Celtic to put on a performance tomorrow, and as Ross said, that's what the fans will be sitting there wanting to watch. It's a good performance, a number of goals, a confidence booster ahead of the Old Firm game next weekend.
Ross, is tomorrow the day for Liam Scales then? Is that the only obvious solution, or are we missing something?
No, I think you're right. I think Liam Scales probably will come in tomorrow. And I think in order for us to go into the Ibrox game with confidence, we need to win comfortably, but we also need to keep the back door shut, because in the last couple of games we've played, we're conceding goals left, right and centre. I think I'm going to calculate it. I think it's a total of 4 goals we've lost in 3 games. So I think we need to make sure that we're defending properly tomorrow, and I don't personally see any issues tomorrow. I think we will be fine, but my only concern is the defensive aspect. I think that's our downfall at the moment.
Are we too negative though, Hugh? Like I say, before a ball's been kicked, why not view this as an opportunity for Liam Scales to come in and really impress? And you never know. It's very easy to sit and say, oh well, you know, that's not the solution, that won't take Celtic to the next level, and they'll need to sign, which I'm sure they still do. But should we at the outset look at these things as an opportunity for people?
Well, you know, he did well at Pittodrie. He clearly just goes about his business in an uncomplicated manner, and that's what Celtic need right now. They brought in Stephen Welsh at Pittodrie second half, and he did that. Unfortunately, he then goes and gets injured, and he's out for 2 months as well. So my reservation would be, like a Bielka, 60,000 people at Celtic Park, his debut at Celtic Park. How will he be feeling? Scales will have to talk him through the match rather than the other way around.
It's the partnership, I suppose,
yeah,
isn't it?
And Brendan Rodgers has made a lot of that this week. It's not about Laga Bielka, not about the one, as Brendan Rodgers put it. It's about the two. So the two of them have got to hit it off, because there will come a point at some stage in the game where they are put under some form of pressure by St Johnstone. So it's a big afternoon, but I take Ross back to something he said earlier, though, about the defence being the big issue. Celtic went to Kilmarnock and didn't score a goal. How many times can you say that of the team that played under Ange Postecoglou? Not very many.
Didn't look like scoring either, Hugh, and that was a concerning point for me, that they absolutely didn't look like scoring. There was no threat. I don't remember the Kilmarnock goalkeeper actually having a very good save to make during the game, and that's unheard of. When you go to Rugby Park, if Kilmarnock were to win in history, the goalkeeper's probably made 5-6 really good saves, and Celtic didn't hurt Kilmarnock at all. I think the big concern for the Celtic fans is the lack of experience at the back. They need a leader in there, and they're missing, obviously, Cameron Carter-Vickers, who's a huge player for them, but they've just not got that experience in there at the moment, and that's going to be vital going into this Old Firm game next weekend.
They will have Alistair Johnson. I'm quite certain that...
Straight back in.
Yeah, he's got to. You know, he's apparently been training for almost a fortnight. He's got to come in to give that kind of assurance that Cammy was talking about there. If you've got him on one side, and I know Greg Taylor's had nothing but criticism since the start of this season, but at least if you have last season's fullbacks, Alistair Johnstone, Greg Taylor, the two central defenders will be helped out by that.
Okay, thank you very much to Ross. Let's swiftly move on to Andy. Andy, as a Celtic fan, what are you making then of that defensive area at the moment? Is it Liam Scales tomorrow? Can he stay in there? How, you know, signings ahead, what are you thinking?
Liam Scales needs to play. Gordon, I'm the one of the guys that goes onto YouTube to look at the qualities of new signings that are coming in, but when Vladimir Bielka came in, I just assumed he would have been a left-sided centre-back. When the game started last week and I seen him predominantly right-footed, I was quite surprised because that was my criticism of Starfelt, who I thought was a good player. But obviously, if teams are going to be pressing you and he's on his wrong foot, he takes an extra touch, which puts a wee bit under pressure, particularly in the bigger games. I think Liam Scales, left-sided centre-back, definitely needs a, he definitely should be given a chance. And when he played for Aberdeen last year, I'm pretty sure he'd done okay.
Yeah, I think that balance, Cammy, is something, sorry Hugh, just to sort of bow to Cammy's knowledge of playing behind these defenders, you know, sometimes the balance, you can't always get it. I think Navrotsky was, he's left-footed, isn't he? So yep, he's the one that you thought would maybe that obvious balance. So maybe that Scales, Lager, Bielka partnership.
Yeah, listen, having a left and a right-footed centre-half partnership is the ideal scenario. Again, especially the way that modern football's played, playing out from the back, you want that to be comfortable. You're able to play it on his strong foot so that he can find the pass forward. Listen, last weekend they just looked very, very nervous from the outset. Obviously, Hughes touched on it. One of his first passes straight up the pitch, trying to pass back to Joe Hart. Wasn't a good start for him. But again, he was just... I just looked at him and he's not an imposing figure either. He's not a big, strong defender that I think Celtic will need going forward, especially in the bigger games when you're playing the top teams in the league, especially Europe. Listen, Cameron Carter-Vickers is a top defender for me, but he's a top defender because he's so strong. He's very good in the ball. He's got an all-round game to him. I just looked at Lager Bielka and I felt, do you know what, he's not that big. He's not 6'4". He's very, very slim as well. And he didn't really, for me, Kilmarnock actually identified it that they marked Callum McGregor out of the game and left him on the ball. And for me, his passing forward wasn't good enough either. So he'll need to improve as a Celtic player. And listen, it was his first game.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not being too critical of him, but there wasn't a lot I've seen of him that really
that's
impressed me last weekend, to be
that's
honest.
That's why, Cammy, you know, left foot, right foot partnerships, okay, I understand the technical side of it all, but I'm looking at his temperament tomorrow. I'm looking at someone who was a nervous wreck at Kilmarnock. Celtic have 60,000 fans there tomorrow. He has to be a big boy because the following weekend, he's at Ibrox.
I know you can spin it that way, but a home game against St Johnstone, it should be more of a gentle one on the nerves, should it not?
Not if you
than
are
away on the pitch and a,
if
a
you
team
start well
in
as a player,
a team that's coming
not,
at you.
Not if you're found to be temperamentally suspect. Yeah,
like I say, I think the spin, you can try that both ways, but there's a reason we usually say that, like, oh, would you risk giving a player a debut away at Rugby Park versus a home game against...
Listen, this is a great game for him. If he can't handle St Johnstone at home, totally get that, Gordon. If he can't handle the game tomorrow, then he's absolutely no chance next weekend.
What else is on your mind, Andy?
A wee quick observation about the game last week. Nobody's mentioned it. I thought there was a bit of naivety with the Celtic medical team last week when Craig Taylor got injured, to take him off to get treatment. And he was the most experienced defender on the park at that time. I think they could have treated him on the pitch and got him on quicker. But anyway, my other thing with Gordon was the SFA. I've called the show for a number of years probably now, and you know I've never wanted to stand up for Rangers. But however, I think the SFA are showing a distinct lack of leadership. Teams are trying to progress to European competitions, which is great for the whole country. I just don't understand why the SFA aren't supporting more teams when they make the sort of... The SFA have annoyed me for a number of years. Starting, I was involved with it, but then the pyramid situation and then the Conference League. And I watched the programme last week when you guys were debating about the fans going to the Celtic and Rangers games. And Gordon, you explained the rule about how many fans are allowed in. And to me, it was ambiguous, to say the least. I don't think there's any leadership coming from Scottish Football Association whatsoever.
Well, first of all, you know, get your allegation right. It's not an SFA matter.
Yeah, these are all sort of SPFL,
it's an SPFL
issues.
SPFL
yeah.
matter. And, you know, the time to discuss this is not once the season has started.
Well, let's cut to the chase, though, because it's an important question that he's asked. So, the week should, and Andy's a Celtic fan, and he's saying it's not like me to stick up for Rangers. Should teams be afforded the week off in between qualifiers the way PSV are?
I think that both clubs should be asked. Ross County are the host club. They should be asked, are you willing to have the game postponed? Rangers, you assume, will say, yes, we want to postpone to give us extra time to recover. But I do have a feeling at the back of my mind that if you start to do it, they'll then complain later in the season when the game is rescheduled and say, oh, it gives us fixture congestion in the league.
Michael Beale said today, Cammy, like, they're more than happy to get on with it, but it's something that he would maybe like looked at in the future, not just for Rangers, for other teams. Absolutely. I've also seen a counter argument, though, that we, if PSV are the example, I think our Scottish season's a little bit longer than the Eredivisie season. I don't think they play a League Cup that's as busy as ours, so is there space to fit those games in down the line? What do you think?
Yeah, for me there is. I think we need to support our clubs as best as we can for them to develop in the European competitions, no matter which club it is. I think it's all about planning, Gordon. I think if we plan just now, listen, this season's done, the guys need to play the games that are scheduled for the weekend. Michael Beale takes that on board, and so do the other managers or the other clubs that are involved in Europe. But listen, see if 2 weeks' time we decide, look, what we're going to do is we're going to put a plan in place that every team that's in Europe next season will get a window of opportunity to apply to the league to postpone the game in between the European fixtures to give them the best opportunity.
And what would that only be, the playoff round? Because, obviously Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen, Hearts, all have to come through a number of...
Listen,
could you do it? No, not play the game yet then?
No, I think when we're in the playoff round, it's really important that to allow them to get to the group stages, and because we know how big the group stages are for us as a country. So I think if we plan forward a little bit, and listen, nobody knows the fixtures next year, nobody knows who's going to be in Europe either, so we just make it a baseline and saying, look...
How did Giovanni Van Bronckhorst get to a final without postponement?
That's never the point. It's not to say that it's impossible. So we're giving teams the best chance. And that's not to say I agree with it either.
I'm looking at more than Celtic and Rangers, to be perfectly honest. Your Aberdeens, your Hibs and your Hearts, who have got smaller squads. It's a big stretch for them.
And there
guys.
We go. Look at that. We're up and running with a number of debates. Sandy and Ross giving us their thoughts on Celtic and Liam Scales and defensive situations ahead of tomorrow. So keep them coming. If you want to wade in on potential postponements ahead of European games, feel free to do that. Rangers fans, what else is on your mind specifically ahead of that trip to Dingwall? Give us all your calls right now, please. 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans are here, and it's 01419511025 for you to join them. And please do. You can send me your thoughts on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. I actually just got a message during the break from one of our esteemed colleagues, Mr. Gordon DL, and I thought his name pop up. I thought, what's happening? He must want to express an opinion on, the footballing debate of the day.
Yeah.
And the message quite simply says, what is a good dish from the Indian restaurant? seriously.
Amazing.
He must know that I'm busy, obviously, because this is where I tend to be between 6 and 8 every night of my life. And he's just, like, what am I, some sort of...
What
like,
did you advise him on?
I haven't yet. The pressure to get that right is actually too much for me.
Get a chicken tikka masala and go away.
I mean, that's a safe bet, isn't it? That's probably what I've done. I've had to... Because the thing is, he doesn't understand the specifics. I've had to go back and say, what Indian restaurant? Because that does change things, doesn't it?
Yep.
If it's your local sort of... You just go basic.
Does he like spice or not? What?
I don't know. This is the thing. So many questions. You just put me under so much pressure. I don't know. Anyway, 01419511025. Interesting tweet from Matthew. It's good to hear all sides of it on that quick debate we had before about postponing league games for Euro qualifiers. He says, how many years did we as a country complain teams were going into the qualifiers cold without match sharpness?
Yeah.
And now someone has not to be match sharp by postponing league games. I suppose it's a fine balance, isn't it? Let's hear a bit from Michael Beale, who did his press today. They've been talking about different members of his squad, in particular two that are set to return for tomorrow's game in Dingwall, Tom Lawrence and Kamar Roof. And he says he views them as starters rather than backup players. He says he actually won't really know his strongest starting 11 until they are involved. And then he says both will feature against Ross County tomorrow.
I think Tom and Kamar are really in my thoughts for that So not having them for the period of time since I've been here has been a big frustration for me. So them coming back in the squad, and certainly this week going and coming back after the international break, them two players are really in my thoughts as starters, not as backup players. So I've not had them. So I think them, the centre-half position this summer with Ben being injured and Connor coming back from the injury and Dujon not being fit, we wasn't able to practice how we wanted. But I think as we go into the international break, we're getting closer, and certainly coming out of it, we'll be ready. The doors will be closed, if you like, and then we can get on with really bedding down, I think, a consistent team, and people then have got to take the shirt. I think having 9 games in a period of 4 or 5 weeks, it would be a miss of me not to rotate, because it's so early in the season. We know that last year we come out of this period with a lot of injuries.
Both going to feature tomorrow, by the sounds of it. Quite interesting to hear that level of praise, because that, again, I was there at the press conference. That question wasn't about Kamal Roof and Tom Lawrence. We had moved on long since then, and the question was, how close are you to finding your strongest starting 11? And he sort of volunteered those two as being part of that.
Yeah, very interesting. And listen, I think Tom Lawrence has been a big miss. He's had a long spell of injuries and breakdowns and coming back, and Rangers have missed him because he was a very, very good player when he came in and was very influential. So I think he's a big player to come back for Rangers, almost like a new signing for them. And Kemar Roofe, again, it's keeping Kemar Roofe fit, having him available, because I think he does bring something different to the Rangers side and the attacking force that they've got going forward. He is different to the other strikers. Probably more an impact sub for me in what he can come on and bring. Can score goals, he's done that throughout his career, but it's just keeping him fit is one of the big issues.
I think you're planning for two occasions in one here. You're planning to get all 3 points in Dingwall, but you're also planning ahead for Eindhoven.
Exactly. So why do managers waste their time by saying they take things one game at a time? Exactly. When they don't.
But
they just don't.
If you can't have a cancellation, and they can't, then Kemar Roofe, our goal scorer throughout his career, wherever he has been, and Tom Lawrence, an outstanding player, unfortunately suffered a serious injury. Both of those should be in contention for tomorrow's match. And you can see that Rangers squad is beginning to expand in a way that makes them look good in the early part of the season. You know, Rabi Matondo has come in. He was terrific against Morton. It doesn't matter that they play in the Championship. He had a very, very good afternoon. Scored a magnificent goal against PSV. And the squad is getting bigger on a weekly basis, and it's very much to Michael Beale's good fortune.
Okay, let's bring in Daniel, who's on View Park tonight. Hi, Daniel. How's it going?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. What have you got for us?
I just think some people have got short memories. Obviously, people talk about games getting postponed.
Mm-hmm.
If I mind back to when Rangers went to Manchester, there was quite a lot of games postponed. And then all we got towards the end of the season was Rangers fans complaining about the fixture chaos it caused them. So you can't have it both ways. If you want the game postponed, fine, but then don't moan about it once it causes you problems.
What games were postponed? What do you mean? So were games postponed to help Rangers in Europe that season? That's not really how I remember, is it?
Yeah, they then wanted the league extended because of it, because it came to the last week or two, and they had so many games to try and cram in.
Right, maybe my memory's hazy, Cammy, but I don't think that was as a result of...
Was that not down to postponements during the winter? I do remember the circumstances. When they had to play.
They wanted it extended and it didn't get extended.
There was 4 games in a week and stuff.
Were they given 3 weekends in preparation for Europe? That's not how I remember it, but someone can correct me. I mean, I don't know, I was still at school. I'll look it up. I'm not sure... Daniel, this is what we do in Scottish football. I don't really know if 2008 is particularly relevant, because it's Rangers this time, but it's also Hibs and it's Hearts and it's Aberdeen and it might be Celtic. I think, can we broaden our horizons? In general terms, should Scottish teams be given a free weekend to help prepare? Let's not worry about having our views tainted by 2008 one way or the other. Would that not be beneficial? I think that's the question.
Yeah, personally, it wouldn't bother me if they did. But all I'm saying is, if they do, just don't complain about it further down the line when you then get the backup that it causes.
Yeah, we're making up legislation on the hoof here. However, if it's about the qualifying rounds, then okay. As long as everyone's in agreement, fine. However, once the tournament proper begins, whether it's...
Oh, I don't think anyone's suggesting that, because you play six games. This is about giving teams the chance to qualify.
Yeah,
that's all
good stages, yeah.
You don't qualify. You're not going to cancel six league games.
Well, in that case then, someone has to... You know, Michael Beale has had a lot to say about it. Michael Beale should go to James Bisgrove and say, I would like you to formally put forward a suggestion that there be the cancellation of league games prior to European qualifying games. And let someone start the ball rolling instead of talking about it all the time. Go to the appropriate authority, the SPFL, and ask for a hearing on this matter.
Well, I totally agree. I think it's all about action. Now, there's been a number of managers. I think, listen, if you went through all the managers in the league and asked them, look, if you're going to be in European football next season, for the qualifiers, would you like a postponement in the fixture that's in between the two ties? And I think 90% of them, if not 100, would say yes, because it gives our players the best opportunity at qualifying.
But, yeah, but to be fair, as the tweeter said, tomorrow is not a great example because it's Dingwall and it's lunchtime and it's far. But is there a case to say that sometimes, take Rangers then as an example, it's a new team gelling.
Yep.
What if Rangers' chances against Eindhoven are enhanced by a Cyril Dessers hat-trick tomorrow or a return for Kamar Roof and Tom Lawrence?
We're looking at hindsight again. What if Dessers gets injured? What if he ends up injured and can't play?
That's my point. The automatic assumption that the rest is the best thing.
So what I'm saying is, allow the manager of that team to make that decision.
Sure.
Listen, it's an application that you put in and you say, yes, as a manager of Rangers, Hearts, Hibs, Aberdeen, whoever is in Europe at that point, Motherwell, whoever, if they make the decision, they know their squad, they know their players, they know what's best for their players to qualify, and which is great for Scottish football, let them make that decision.
They are, Shani, also allowed not to participate in the League Cup qualifying, the sections. So it's early in the season. The season only began on the 5th of August. For me, it's a bit early to be going on about this. But
it's not, again, it's not so much that. I think it's just the importance of this fixture. Becomes season defining. And again, the problem we've got here is we make everything about Rangers and Celtic. Take Hearts as an example then, and it'll soften everything down. Listen, it's season defining, isn't it? It's a season defining.
Well, if it's season defining, let someone go to the SPFL and say, I'd like a vote on this matter.
Well, that's fine, but we're still allowed to debate it. Listen, gets to that stage,
I've heard from three of the managers have openly said, I never heard if Barry Robson had said that he would like that. But listen, Stephen Naismith, Lee Johnson, Michael Beale have all said they would have preferred the fixture not to happen this weekend.
And for what it's worth, none of them have said, this is a disgrace, I can't believe this is happening. They're just saying, okay, maybe
we should look at it.
Can we go back?
We should look at.
Rangers did not ask for a postponement of the Ross County.
That's what I'm saying. We're talking about future and whether it could be an option.
But if you felt strongly about it, why didn't they ask?
Because again, Hugh, there's a difference. Not everyone has to throw their toys out the pram and say it's a disgrace. You can just say this is not ideal and maybe we can work to a solution in the future.
Again,
I don't think there's
scope to practicalities.
Why don't the SPFL send a letter out to every single Premier League club and say, look, for next year, what do you think? Should there be an option of postponement if your club's in Europe? Yes or no?
Okay, 01419511025. Let's bring in Craig, who is a Rangers fan. What are you thinking for the guys tonight, Craig?
On the topic you were just on, I actually remember that time, because I was going to Ibrox for that final, the European final. We did ask for time off, but we weren't granted it. We weren't granted any time off. We were forced to play a lot of games in a short period of time. Because I remember us all being annoyed at it, and then we were all even more annoyed about it when we found out that for the cup final with Rangers and Hibs, the Hibs were getting some time off before that. And we were all annoyed the fact that we didn't get any time off before our European game.
The 2008 was the Queen of the South final, was it not?
Oh, no, I'm not meaning that. I'm just meaning in 2008, we were all annoyed that the SFA wouldn't grant us any time off. But then with the next opportunity of a club asking, it was that 2016 final with Hibs, and they granted them time off for that.
I thought that, but again, this is different. I think that's because their season, it was to do with the playoffs, wasn't it? Let's not argue about 2008 or 2016, because I don't know what relevance it really has. What are you thinking today?
Yeah, well, I think for... Are you meaning for the Rangers game, or are you meaning my opinion on if it should be allowed or not?
Whatever you want. You just take it away.
I think any club that has got to a far stage in a European competition in Scotland should be granted some time off where they need it, because I think as a country that we don't really get to many European finals and we don't really get to far stages of higher-end competitions, I think we should help any club in Scotland that reaches that to try and give them the best opportunity to succeed, because in the end it's going to be the best for the country.
Yeah, fair enough. What else are you thinking for the guys tonight?
So I was just thinking about the game at the weekend. I was thinking that it would be a good thing if Ruth was to get some game time. I know a lot of Rangers fans right now are thinking that he's been injured too many times and that there's no point in taking another chance on him. But in my honest opinion, the guy is the best finisher at the club. If you've got a chance of getting someone like that running and fit, and we've had players before that have went through bad injuries, been injury prone, and then ended up playing regularly. So if we've got that opportunity to actually get him back in the team and get him playing and scoring goals, then I'm all for it.
I think Michael Beale's dropping a very large hint that will happen tomorrow.
From the start?
Yeah, I think so.
Tom Lawrence in particular out for ages, isn't he?
No, I don't mean the pair. I mean Kamaru. Sorry, right. Why not? He's praised him. He's said what an important part of the squad he is, and we all know his career background. He's a natural goal scorer. And if you want to rest legs before Eindhoven and still have a natural goal scorer on the park, Kamaru Roof's your man.
Yeah, listen, I think Michael Beale, the way that you spoke about Kamaru Roof, it obviously tells us a story that he's in his plans going forward and he trusts him that he can get him fit, and keep him fit is the main thing, because I totally agree with Craig. He's a natural born goal scorer. He's scored goals throughout his career. He's a different type of striker compared to what they've got at the club. So I think he is an important part if they can keep him fit going forward this season.
Thank you to Craig. I love this. James Tierney sent me a tweet. Get your facts right, please, Gordon Duncan. The league was extended in 2008, and that's why it finished on a Thursday. Rangers had a game against Gretna postponed to help them prepare for the game against Lyon. They were then pumped 3-0 at Ibrox. See, James, that's why I said, look, remind me. I just couldn't remember. That's the beauty of this show. I'm sorry I can't remember every single fixture detail over the last 20 years.
James,
consider me put in my place.
James has been carrying this around in his head for 15 years.
It's not that deep. Because I don't... And this is why this show is brilliant, because even although that is right, I don't think that's got anything to do with the debate right now, and certainly neither did the 2016 situation with Hibs in the Scottish Cup. But guys, it's Friday. Let's lighten up. Anyway, 01419511025. Let me tell you about this before we go any further.
£250,000.
Wow, this is big. Well, the cash register takes a bit of a break. We've teamed up with our sister stations across the UK to give you the chance to win £250,000. It couldn't be easier to enter as well. All you need to do, grab the phone for the fastest way into the draw, and here's how you can get your hands on that £250,000. It's the same deal. Text YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. The texts are £2 plus a standard network rate. Enter on our website. Online entries cost £2, or you can call 0330 880 4523. The Nokia doesn't do it, put it down. Calls charged at a standard rate. Over 18s only, and all the rules for this Bauer Media Audio UK competition are on our website. We guarantee to pay out every penny of this cash to one winner, and it'll be in their bank account straight after the call. Imagine that. Refreshing your banking app, or going to check your bank book or whatever it is you do. Lines close at 5pm next Friday when we'll make the call. There's no phrase or amount to remember. You don't have to pick up in five rings. Just answer your phone, and £250,000 is yours. So for your chance to win £250,000, text YES to 61025 right now.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell are available on that usual number, 0141 951 1025. You can tweet at Clyde SSB. Well, there's now a full blown argument about what did or didn't happen in 2008. 15 years ago, by the way. 15 years ago. James is back on. He's not happy because I put on a dramatic voice when I read out his tweet. He's now going to tell me that he's not happy, isn't he? I just don't know what to say to James anymore. He's put me under pressure. He says he's perfectly calm. Which would make you the only man on Twitter who's perfectly calm, James, it has to be said. And actually, in amongst all that, the real debate on Twitter is what Gordon DL should have for his Indian, apparently. Yeah, yeah, something inundated with suggestions. So if Gordon gets his South Indian garlic chilli chicken with garlic naan, as Pozog says, then who am I to argue? 01419511025. There is a lot out there to debate. Here's one that actually in relevance for now, rather than the trip down memory lane. It's interesting because Graham's a Rangers fan. I get why folk would want games postponed to help with qualifiers, but in my opinion, if I had the choice, I'd rather have games postponed at the other end, i.e. a group stage or if you were to get to a final. And you obviously can't have both, so where would the greater need be, says Graham. Did you cross that bridge when you come to it?
Yeah, listen, the ideal scenario is that the manager makes the decision, but he won't get that decision. I think the big thing for me and why it would be in qualifiers is once you get to group stage, it changes a lot of the outlook for Scottish football, basically. And that's why I would say that we give the managers the option and it's up to them. They know the team better.
If any Scottish club reaches a European final, they should automatically be given the weekend off prior to the final. I think,
yeah, a final as well. I think when you get to the last stage as well, yes, we support
our
teams.
I think the point is though, the debate would, the goalposts would just keep moving. If any of them got to a quarter final or a semi, people would then say, oh, we should do it now. And you obviously can't do that too often throughout a season.
We'll have a farcical domestic season.
I think the decision needs to be decide before the season starts, and that's it, and you stick with it.
Anyway, what about Billy, who's on the line? What's your point for the guys tonight, Billy? Oh, he's gone to right at the, and you were going to like this point as well, Hugh. Let's try and get Billy back. He just disappeared right at the crucial moment. I still want to see, or hear, I should say, from Aberdeen fans. That would be nice to hear about last night. Hearts as well. We all, I think even I could tell by social media, the number of people of, you know, fans of other teams who are tuning in and checking out those European games to see what they would involve. Let's see if we can get a bit of discussion going on then. We are here until 8 o'clock as well, of course, on the live stream as well, in case you're just getting up to speed with things in this new season. Hugh Keevans has gone all out. The top button is done tonight. What's happened? Friday as well.
Well, you know, I was thinking I might even undo the top button and the shirt.
Look at that. You want to see him on a Saturday, Cammy, right? He comes in with his casual weekend look. Mm-hmm. He goes a shirt, obviously, but he has a t-shirt under it. And almost like to underline the fact that it's the weekend, he doesn't only leave like one or two buttons undone, he leaves like five. It's so like the bottom two are done, but then the rest is just, he's shown off his t-shirt underneath.
Bruce Springsteen, like it.
Said no one ever. Billy, what's your point tonight?
Hello lads, he's all good?
Good, you?
Yep. Aye, thanks. There was a call in yesterday about Alfredo Morelos, right, and I know, bringing him up again, right, but listen, all that he's done for Rangers, top goal scorer in Europe and all that all nonsense, right? He's still not got a club. And maybe Rangers, maybe not owe it to him, but why not let him train with him and just maybe get him a bit fit again and maybe not re-sign him. I think the call was yesterday, re-sign him, but not re-sign him necessarily, but just get him fit. And maybe, well, it used to be a few pounds that he'd tough to lose, but maybe a couple of stone now, like, but
this is why I love this show, Hugh. If anyone ever asks me what do you like about it, I say that every day is different and every day is unpredictable. I did never envisage that two nights in a row we would have bring back Morelos calls to this show. When Billy, to be fair, is going a kind of halfway house, doesn't want him signed, he wants some sort of fitness camp trial.
I listened
period.
Last night, I thought, now we have truly moved into the parallel universe. What are they on about?
You know, to be fair, they've all explained it quite clearly.
Yeah, well, let me explain myself then. He visibly declined in a Rangers jersey because of his own lack of application. Rangers hung around with Alfredo Morelos for far too long, cost themselves a fortune by not taking money when he was at his peak, and by the time he left the club, he was of no use whatsoever to Michael Beale. So, Billy, by your own admission, you'd be bringing back someone whose physical condition would be way, way short of playing for Rangers, even if they even contemplated the idea of bringing him back.
Michael
Beale doesn't need people hanging around the place, getting gym time. He's trying to run a football club here on a European and domestic level. Alfredo Morelos is yesterday, past tense.
Two callers made the point on air last night. There were more callers who phoned in to make the point that we didn't manage to get on air. And now Billy's done something similar. I had no idea that this opinion was out there, Cammy.
Yeah, listen, Alfredo Morelos was incredible for a period at Rangers and done... listen, his goal scoring record is phenomenal. He did agree with Hugh, decline in his performances and his attitude towards the club. Alfredo Morelos hasn't got a club for a reason, and there is a reason behind it. His attitude, his body shape, he shouldn't be overweight. When you're a top footballer and you're getting paid the money that Alfredo Morelos was getting paid, you shouldn't be overweight. That's one thing you shouldn't be. Listen, he can afford to get a personal trainer or five personal trainers if he wants to. Rangers, as Hugh said, he is in the past for me. He's not. He was great for the club at one period, but not towards the end of his tenure with Rangers Football Club.
No, I've just seen a story right there. It popped up that Cyril Dessers has moved into his house in Mulgay or something. So he's going to have to find a new one if he comes back.
He's rumoured to be going to a club in Mexico, incidentally.
Billy, where does this all fit in though with, you know, what Michael Beale has done to try and freshen up the squad and sign a number of attacking players and bringing back like Kitmar Roof and so on?
Listen, I know what they're saying, right? But I'm not saying re-sign them. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying paying them wages. I'm not saying that, right? Maybe just let them train, get them fit. Because he might be thinking right now, by the way, I thought I'd have offers on the line. Like, what's going on? I should have... I had a chance to stay at Rangers and I blew it. He might be thinking that, you never know. And see, when he wanted to play for Rangers, he was banging in the goals when he wanted to play for them. He might be thinking, what have I done? You know what I mean? So see if he was, I like to train, but no re-sign or whatever. And he was showing that same hunger in it again because he knows what he's missing now and he never got clubs or offering him contracts that he thought. Who knows? Who's to say that he
kind of
get back to the player that he was?
Billy, would you take Morelos back at this moment in time when you've seen the strikers that Michael Beale signed and what Rangers have this season? Would you take him back?
I wouldn't re-sign him right now. No, definitely no. But because what he's done for the club, and I know he's very like a lot of lows as well, right? But. I don't think it's a bad idea to let him frame them.
Well, listen, and that's the beauty of it. You're allowed to come on and make that. Ruddy disagrees. He says we don't want that anywhere near our club. Joyfully down tools. Why do our fans want him back? Anyway, it's not a debate I expected to have.
It's
the beauty.
Club.
Let's leave it, Hugh, because we're extremely late for this. Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun for the best football news and opinion online. TheScottishSun.co.uk/football. Right, beat the pundit time. Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans are your potential victims tonight, and you need to call before 7 o'clock. 01419511025. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 01419511025. If you want to tweet us as well, you can. If you're just joining us, we've been hearing from Michael Beale. We've been looking at that game in Dingwall tomorrow. We sort of swerved into a debate about whether clubs, not just Rangers, any club should get the chance to postpone fixtures in between European qualifiers. Rangers don't have that this weekend. PSV do. I mean, if you're on Twitter, that's just spiralled into a debate about the season 15 years ago and what Gordon Dalziel should have for his dinner. We've even had an update on the should Rangers bring back Alfredo Morelos. I don't know, that's the beauty of the phone in. These things just happen randomly. And of course Celtic tomorrow, defensive crisis. Who's going to play there? Is it Liam Scales? And closing in on Luis Palma as well. Very keen to reflect on some European action from last night, so if you've got thoughts, now is the time to share them. And we'll play this first. Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun for the best football news and opinion online. TheScottishSun.co.uk/football. Right, beat the pundit time. Been a bit of a mixed bag recently. The listeners have been having their fun with you pundits this season, but even Thursday, we had no victories on Thursday nights until last night, and eventually Mark Wilson and Gordon, which one of them was it?
Gordon
Dalziel got back on the saddle. However, they played against three guys who I think were on holiday or something together. And passed on a true or false.
Oh,
so
wow.
You sort of knew that they were, you know, that they weren't maybe in the right headspace, shall
well
we say,
on.
Hugh Keevans?
Well, Dimwits would be another word.
Well, one of them actually sent me a picture, Craig Mackey, and he sent me a picture on Instagram of them, yeah, very much, you know, on holiday, you know, taps off, as the phrase would go. Any no drinks in hand, incidentally,
no.
But a picture of them watching us on the live stream. Oh, so there you go. Hope they're enjoying their holiday from Craig there. Anyway, tonight's contestant, Stuart, is on the line. Let's get ready to introduce ourselves to Stuart.
Evening, Gordon.
How's it going? You all right?
A wee bit nervous, Gordon.
No, don't be. Don't be. Have you ever played before?
Hey, I played once before. Yeah, I played Dazza Gordon Dale, and they beat me.
Oh, that's never good. Was that a couple of years back?
I think so, Gordon. I about a year ago.
Well, surely you're not as nervous now because you've got that experience under your belt. That's what they always talk about, no?
It's all right, Gordon, when you're playing it on the radio. But...
Craig lines. That's a dodgy line. Is not what we need for Beat the Pundit. I'm going to give Craig Stuart a second. I'm going to let the producer speak to him and see if we can just make sure that line is okay, because that's no use, is it?
No. Well, although
it's good for us,
I'll happily take him on now.
No, but it's not, because then I don't know if he's just gone quiet because he doesn't know the answer or because he's not there. So hopefully the producer is going to speak to him right now. Hint, hint, producer, if you're listening. Yes, I think they are. And then we can get it going. So Stuart's in Craigton. He's a bit closer than the guys who were on holiday last night. But I knew they were in bother when they started passing true or false.
Did my Avril Lavigne moment reach you?
Oh, yes, it did. You. Yeah. Amazing. Exactly. I loved that.
It's even reached the rural communities, as you would call them, down in Annan.
Did you know who Avril Lavigne...
He didn't.
No,
I'd never heard of her. And I was greatly heartened the following day when I asked the Dazzler, "Have you ever heard of Avril Lavigne?" He said, "Does she work here?"
That's not the endorsement that you think it is.
No?
No, because his skill set is a bit narrow as well. So,
but it was a comfort to know that there are two grey-haired guys walking about who don't know who Avril Lavigne is.
Anyway, right, Stuart is there. Stuart, how's it going? All right?
All right, Gordon.
Good, right, let's do it. I'm going to toss...
I spelt my name wrong up on the screen.
Oh, come on. He's a Stuart with a EW. Do you know the thing is, Stuart? It's spelt the other way on my screen, so they've just taken a punt on that. So we'll change that. Heads, it's Hugh. Tails, it's Cammy. And it is heads. It's Avril Lavigne's biggest fan up against Stuart from Craigdon. So what we'll do here is give Hugh some greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can't hear us. And Stuart will give you 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Good man. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Rocco Vatta is the son of what former Celtic player?
Rudy.
What is the name of Stranraer's ground?
Stepart.
True or false, St Johnstone are the only professional club in the UK with a J in their name?
True.
Name one of the players that's got two goals in the Scottish Premiership already this season.
Majorski, Aberdeen.
Who do Partick Thistle play tomorrow?
Airdrie.
Kieran Tierney looks set to move to which Spanish side?
Real Sociedad.
Wet famously sponsored which Scottish football team?
Clydebank.
See, Hugh'll definitely get that one when we bring him back. Hugh Keevans, can you hear us?
I always laugh when I hear Greatest Hits Radio because I thought, has Gordon Duncan ever heard of T-Rex?
Of course, I'm not. I mean, I'm young, well, daft. I'm well aware of their back catalogue, or at least one or two songs. Are you a fan?
No, not
really.
He was okay, Mark Bolan, but
no Tony Bennett, no Leonard Cohen,
or anything like them.
See, I've learned all the old artists from Hugh because I know his taste. I know Hugh's favourite artists for some reason, off by heart. And don't forget, I've forgotten about Joni Mitchell. Anyway, right, you ready, Hugh?
I am.
30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Rocco Vatta is the son of what former Celtic player?
Rudy Vatta.
What is the name of Stranraer's home ground?
Stair Park.
True or false, St Johnstone are the only professional club in the UK with a J in their name?
True.
Name any of the players that have got two goals in the Scottish Premiership this season?
Kyogo.
Who do Partick Thistle play tomorrow?
Queen's Park.
Kieran Tierney looks set to move to which Spanish
Real
side?
Real Sociedad.
Wet famously sponsored which Scottish
Clyde
team?
Bank, the paper hankies.
Sammy the Watt is the mascot of Dunfermline.
Sammy the Tammy.
Okay.
We had a punch up once at the East End Park.
Sorry?
Sammy the Tammy and I fell out. I was doing trackside interviews and Sammy the Tammy was making a nuisance of himself. So words were exchanged. And very nearly blows.
All right, so it wasn't an actual punch up because I had to find video footage of that if that was the case. What do you think, Stuart?
Hey, I think Hughes just bit me. He's a wee bit decade older than me, so.
I have to say,
a decade.
Right, let's go through them and then I'll explain my thoughts. Rocco Vatta is the son of what former Celtic player? It's Rudy. You both got it. Stair Park is Stranraer. Both got it. St Johnson, the only team in the UK with a J in their name. You both got it. So what a game we've got in our hands. Stuart, you were flying here. Any player that scored two in the Premiership this season, there's a list. You've got Turnbull, O'Reilly, Lafondra, Kyogo, not Miovski, I'm afraid, Stuart. I mean, even Stuart's wrong answers were quite good, you know, if that makes sense at all. So I thought Stuart was in with a chance, but I've never seen Hugh Keevans in this form. I'm literally never. Queen's Park play Partick Thistle tomorrow. Hugo's two in front. And even then, Stuart wasn't down and out because he knew Real Sociedad, but so did you. He knew Clyde Bank, but so did you. And then you got Sammy the Tammy.
Amazing.
How many years have you done this show?
38.
And Beat the Pundit's been going for quite a few of them. I know for a fact you have never, ever, ever got 8 out of 8. The likes of which have never been seen.
Allow me this moment.
Stand up, point to the name in the card. Come on, stand up.
Go on.
Do it properly. So our camera's not even on him. Can we get that middle camera on Hugh Keevans while he points to the back of his cardigan? I saw it. It's great drama. It's not even
lovely.
There we go. Which means,
oh, I can't wait for this,
Stuart. Firstly, we'll say goodbye to you. Thank you for taking part. Stuart, you were good. You can hold your head high. You were just beaten by the better man.
Could I ask Hugh and Cammy a question, please?
Go for it.
Well, I support Rangers, Gordon, and what I think about Glasgow Rangers is Michael Beale, I'm 50-50 with him.
Okay.
But what I think, Gordon, is see all his coaches, he's brought them up with London with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they all seem to come from, as far as I've heard, they all seem to come from Arsenal or Chelsea.
Okay.
Now, Gordon, Hugh knows, Cammy knows, you know that Arsenal and Chelsea don't let away good coaches. What I would like to see at Glasgow Rangers is like something that Celtic have got. They've got a John Kennedy. Rangers need either, I'll put three names to you, Alec Ray, Neil McCann, or even Barry Ferguson. They need somebody with a Scottish thing to the club.
I get the logic. Can you hear about people knowing the landscape and so on? But at the same time, Neil Banfield worked for a long, long time with Arsene Wenger. Does it make, you know, is Barry Ferguson a better option than him? Because, you know, he's been here before.
I think it's slightly disparaging to say that Chelsea and Arsenal don't let good coaches go.
Things move on, don't they?
Yeah, they move on. You know, Michael Beale did it himself. Brendan Rodgers was at Chelsea at one stage. You know, that's the nature of the game. So, while I understand that you know, Stuart wants some kind of Scottish connection there, and incidentally, Kenny Miller is battering the top of his radio at the moment. Why was he not included in the shortlist? But, you know, Michael Beale, if you trust in the manager, you have to trust in those who are with him.
Quickly, Cammy, because we're being sidetracked.
I think what Stuart's maybe trying to say is, listen, if the management moves on, there's nobody left at the club. And if you've got one person who's got an association with Rangers, then it's always good to have them there.
Okay, thank you to Stuart for Beat the Pundit. He's thrown that point on us, which is fine. I'm always more than happy when those happen and we can get a bit of a conversation going. But you've got the chance. You've never had 8 out of 8 before.
No.
The radio history has already been made, and it means for the first time you get to go for the 10.
Okay.
Everybody falls at the 10. Are you ready?
Okay.
Fabrizio Ravanelli played for which Scottish club?
Dundee.
Wow. Yeah. Here he goes. This is incredible radio history. Who is the current Rangers number 9?
Dessers.
Yes. He's done it. Go on, Hugh Keevans. Oh. Things you know. There you go. You can keep that. That's tonight's questions. Cammy and I'll sign it. Get it on the mantelpiece.
Can we give him a signed ball?
We'll give him anything he wants.
Well done.
Oh, it's my grandson's birthday on the 30th of August. So
don't,
if I get
dare,
a signed ball,
don't you dare give him that paper for his birthday.
No, but he'd love a signed ball.
Brilliant. Oh, incredible. Here. Things you never thought you would hear.
Congratulations.
It was a pleasure to watch you in action tonight. It almost makes up for all the awful performances you've put in over the years.
Avro, are you listening, Avro?
An extra macaroni pie tomorrow, apparently, for the producer says. What a treat that will be. Right, 0141.
I bought couscous for tomorrow.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I didn't think you would even know what couscous was.
I still don't, but I have bought it for tomorrow.
Updates to follow tomorrow. 01419511025. It was a big night in Europe last night. Let's bring in Glenn, who is a big Aberdeen fan. Glenn, what did you make of it?
It was a nervous night, especially when we found ourselves 2-0 down, but I think the character of the team was probably questioned at that point, and they really stood up to it and fought back to, I kind of feel like we're in pole position now to get to the Europa League group stages after that.
Yeah, you would have taken 2-2 before the game, I assume. You've certainly taken it at 2-0 down. Would you have taken it before?
Yeah, we discussed it on the podcast as part of our preview that, you know, given the fact that they're halfway through their season, setting a point off the top of the table and pretty impressive home record as well, you'd have bitten your hand off at a draw, especially given kind of our poor start to the season. Yes, we played well against Celtic, but it wasn't a win. Mm-hmm. And I felt that we were not really at our best against Stirling and Livingston as well. So was a bit nervous at what to expect. So yeah, to bit your hand off for
a draw. More than that, Cammy, for those who didn't see it, Aberdeen were really good last night as well. They probably deserved to win the game. I couldn't believe they were 2-0 down. And you know, VAR, handballs, we've been there before. It's so cruel, whether it was right or not. So the character to then come back, they could have won it, they thought they'd won it again, but for an offside decision.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing you touched on there, Gordon, was that the performance, it was really, really impressive. They were good value throughout the whole game, and as you say, it was surprising they were 2-0 down. But again, when you get yourself in that position, you can either fold or it re-energises you, and I think that's what happened with Aberdeen, that they got the bit between their teeth and they got that all-important first goal, which was really, really important. Then they started to believe, and they absolutely could have won that tie last night. But it's a brilliant, brilliant result from being 2-0 down, which would have been an uphill battle if they'd came back to Pittodrie with that 2-0 deficit. Now that it's 2-each, I totally agree with Glenn that they are in the driving seat, but they need to produce another big performance, and it would be massive for Aberdeen to get into the group stages.
I loved it a lot, but look, Hugh, it is half-time in the tie, all the usual. Yeah. Caveats, but our clubs in Europe, as Glenn says, how many times you've seen that? Oh, they're 20 games into their season, you've got to wait, they're the Swedish champions, and 2-0 down, it's a very un-Scottish like thing to do for us at this stage of qualification, come back and be the better team and draw 2-all.
The first thing I want them to do is forget all about having beaten Hacken at Pittodrie before. The past has no relevance to the present day. I was delighted to see Nicky Devlin get the goal after the mistake he made against Celtic, and he was punished for it by Kyogo. I'm also fascinated by Barry Robson. The Stephen Glass experiment was a top-class failure, and then in came Jim Goodwin, and things went from bad to worse. Barry Robson, an appointment from within, is always a gamble. Are they taking the easy option? But he seems to be a very good manager in the making. Mm. And he is in the making, but he's got things going there and he's got good signings. And that was a tremendous thing to put on his CV last night. Glenn, I'm sure you'd agree.
Absolutely. I think, as you said, you know, looking at Barry Robson's appointment, you could definitely class it as the easy option. And I've said before, when you appoint from within, and especially last season, the club were kind of damned if we did and damned if we didn't, in the sense that, you know, if we went for an external appointment, given the work that Barry had done and that appointment went wrong, we'd have been questioned as, why did you turn that down? And once you gave Barry the job on a permanent basis, if results went the other way, we'd have been questioned why we didn't pull in someone with more experience. And I think, you know, obviously I'm putting a lot of praise on the players for showing the character to come back from 2-0 down last night, but you've also got to credit Barry Robson. We've been quite critical in recent weeks of his lack of substitutions, and the first thing he did when we went 2-0 down was give debuts to Jimmy McGarry and Jamie McGrann, what an impact those two players had as well. And as you said, you know, we couldn't win the game as well. Of course, Jamie McGrath, a goal disallowed in stoppage time as well. So, yeah, some job he's doing.
So you fancy it from here, Glenn? I think you said driving seat. How confident are you?
Yeah, no, now that I've said that, that'll be quoted and used against me if things go horribly
you're
wrong.
You're entitled to feel that way.
I think you've got to, you know, I spoke of Harkin's home form. I think our home form speaks for itself as well. And the fact that now Pittodrie sold out today for next week as well. A full house, be right behind Barry and the boys as well. And yeah, I've got to fancy our chances of getting to the Europa League group stages.
Good man, and what an achievement it would be. Thank you, Glenn. You can hear more from Glenn on the Red Tinted Glasses podcast as well. Big Aberdeen fan sharing his thoughts with us tonight. Keep them coming if you can. 01419511025. We'll get a full time teaser and more calls for you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans are here. If you're just joining us, you've missed radio history. Hugh Keevans, so often hopeless at Beat the Pundit. Not only did he win, and he got all these questions right, all eight. We then gave him the chance, as we always do in those circumstances, to go for the 10, and he did it. Hugh Keevans is here for 10 in a row.
It's the pinnacle of my career.
Incredible, it really was. Let's see if you can keep up your knowledge streak on the full-time teaser.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Score made-to-measure wardrobes. Available to the trade.
Thank you to Big Shane in Wishaw, if you're listening. Thanks, Big Shane, for sending the questions in. I'm going to make an executive decision on this teaser, right? I don't care if you got 10. You two are limited when it comes to the full-time teaser. Would that be a fair accusation? Would you like a right of reply?
You've characterised us perfectly.
Good. Yep. Okay. So Big Shane's question has 9 answers on it. Okay. I'm going to take an axe to that right through the middle. Well, sort of, because you'll see in a minute. We'll see how we get on, right? Uh-huh. Let's start off with, can you name 4 Scotsmen who have scored directly from a free kick in the English Premier League more than once? So can you name 9 Scotsmen who've scored directly from a free kick in the English Premier League more than once?
Premier League began when?
92-93.
Gary McAllister?
So to give you a little bit of a clue, there are 9 players that have scored free kicks, but only 4 have done it more than once. So I wonder if you can name them.
Charlie Adam.
Yes, Hugh Keevans. This guy, this guy's on fire tonight, honestly.
Gary McAllister?
No. He's done it once, so I'll tick him off because he's on the next bit of your list.
Yep. McTominay?
No. Those big hitters at Man United wouldn't let him near them, I don't think.
McFadden?
Yes. Whoa. Twice. Look at that. 50% of the way there. I might need to open this up to the 9 who've done it at all.
Underestimated us.
I did. Let's see how we go. Let's bring in Gary, who's an Aberdeen fan from Fife. Gary, how happy are you with what you saw last night?
Second half were really good. Mm-hmm. First half, not so good.
Fair.
I think with the 2 new players that come on, McGarry and... Oh, what's his name? Oh, God, I can't remember his name now. But,
McGrath. Oh, McGrath, sorry. McGrath. Yeah.
Aye, McGrath. Really good when they come on. Unlucky not to take the win, actually, I thought.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Did you see that coming? The previous caller was talking about, you know, like bits of the performance. Yeah, we're good against Celtic, but he didn't win the game. Livy wasn't brilliant. Stirling Albion wasn't brilliant, given the disparity in level. So were you pleasantly surprised, or did you always feel like this current group had that in them?
When I first seen the team, I was like, oh, no, same team as Stirling Albion. I'm trying to, we're going to get a bit of doing here. Like, but after, like I say, with the 2 new players that come on, different team. Like,
do you think you'll go through from here?
Oh, aye. Yeah, aye, definitely. That's totally sold out already, or not?
It'll be loud, won't it?
Great. It's great the stadium sold out, but there's still work to be done. Off the back of a result such as the one that Aberdeen got last night, there is, of course, a rush to congratulate them and to celebrate the moment. But Barry Robson would be the first to tell you, let's get some Mirren out the way first of all this weekend, and then let's focus on this because it's so important to the club. Let's not get carried away. Full house, but feet on the ground.
Yeah, I think that'll be obvious, won't it, Cammy? I was interested to see Hearts' opponents last night, and it may be justified because they'll be tough over there and they take a lead, but they were sort of dancing and celebrating after the game as if they had won. I always feel that's a bit risky.
Yeah, very risky. I agree with Hugh that Aberdeen, they just need to navigate their way through the game on Sunday, which will be a really difficult game at St Mirren. But it's also really important that they continuously try and take points in the league when they've got these big European ties, because they're going to have to get used to playing on Thursday nights going forward, because either they would obviously fall into the conference if they don't continue in the Europa. So, but again, it was really a positive performance and really good signs that I think they can absolutely get the job done on Thursday night.
Now, Gary, I believe you've also got a point about a name that will be of interest to a lot of fans listening down here as well, because we've been talking about Liam Scales. Will he start for Celtic? Is he going to have to go and play at the moment? You guys had him on loan last season, of course.
I didn't see any hassle with playing Scales. I would quite have happily have had him back, but only on a permanent deal though. But I didn't see what the worry is. I think he's a decent player. Like I say, I'd have him on my team any time, at any point, right?
He now gets the chance to live up to the nice billing that you've given him. I think he would be back at Aberdeen by now. He'd be your player and probably on a permanent deal, were it not for the fact that Brendan Rodgers has lost three defenders and he just can't let them out the building. In fact, if you include the sale of Starfelt, that's four central defenders that have been lost to Brendan Rodgers, one voluntarily, the other three because of injury. So Liam Scales tomorrow gets a terrific chance to show that he deserves to stay at Celtic for reasons other than he's the only one left.
Is that the way you see it, Gary? Has all this led to that ship sailing in terms of Aberdeen getting him back?
Well, we signed McGarry, so I think that's where we're at now. Like Hugh says, he would have been here by now. He would have been at Petardo by now if we were getting him. So McGarry would be fine as well.
And yet, Cammy, I mean, if Celtic need players now, they need them now. But at the same time, let's assume, because you would, that Celtic are going to go and sign someone this week. At least one central defender. Kobe Ashe's not a million miles away. Remains to be seen how much Brendan Rodgers likes him. And I know it's a big drama and it's a relatively long period, but if it's 7 or 8 weeks, then Cameron Carter-Vickers and Mike Navrotsky also come back. So is it a short term fix that Celtic are looking for there then?
Yeah, listen, I think it's up to Liam Scales now. Hughes hit the nail on the head there that he needs to take his opportunities. If he's given it tomorrow, listen, the Celtic get a clean sheet, he puts in a good performance, looks really confident, the fans like him, he'll continuously play. I think Brendan Rodgers, he can't not play. So it's up to him. He's got that Premier League experience now. He's played with Aberdeen, he done well when he was up there. I liked him as a defender. I think it would be a shame if he has to sit in the background when all these players come back. Yeah. But it's up to him. He's got the opportunity. If he puts himself out there, performs well, then why would he be left out of the team?
Yeah. I think Celtic really need to get in an experienced defender.
They do.
With no disrespect to Scales or to Lagabielka, but you're talking about the onset of the Champions League. You're talking about the need not to lose ground in the domestic league to the extent that you've given Rangers a massive chance to take the title back.
It still needs to be right, though, doesn't it? I always... The focus on that word sometimes worries me a bit. And I'm sure Brendan Rodgers is not daft. He's not just going to go for someone who's only experienced. Yeah. I'm sure he'll try. I just feel like in the last few years, we've heard it a lot. Celtic fans shudder at the mention of Shane Duffy, who everyone thought was going to be great. Yep. Celtic went to Rangers, brought in an experienced Gareth McAulay. We never really saw much of him. Before that, Rangers had the extremely experienced Bruno Alves. You know, it's just sometimes it's not everything.
Yeah, and it can be an experienced player who's maybe slightly over the hill a little bit. I think, listen, Cameron Carter-Vickers is such a big player for Celtic. I think he's a fantastic defender, and they miss him so much. They'll be desperate to get him back because he's a huge player in the Champions League.
I think of this as like a casino. The casino shuts on the 1st of September, and Brendan Rodgers has got to gamble. He's got to put his chips on one number here because he desperately needs someone with Lagerbielke and Scales because, as I say, by the time Welsh, Navrotsky...
Yeah, sorry, I didn't even mention Stephen Welsh.
...and Carter Vickers come back, by the time they are ready to play, the Champions League will almost be over in terms of the group stages and... The league will have started to take shape. The domestic league will have started to take shape. And Celtic, through no fault of their own, but they have been desperately unlucky, and they have only Lagerbielke and Scales. Iwata is not a centre-back. Kobayashi, I do not think, has the physicality for Scottish football. So Brendan has got to put the chips on a number.
Thank you, Gary, Aberdeen fan from Fife. Just quickly then on the before we move on from last night, are you both confident Aberdeen finished the job? In a word?
Yes.
Maybe.
Okay. Hearts, obviously, more to do. What did you make of them last night? Again, it felt like the performance was actually quite good unless you...
Brilliant. Great performance. Very unlucky to be down in that tie. But I think they'll take huge confidence going over there. They now know that team is beatable. Mm-hmm. If they'll need to perform to a really high level, but they can definitely go over there and beat them.
And I've said it before, Hugh. I said it when Kevin Van Veen scored at the exact same end of Tynecastle. You should get one per season where if it's offside, you get... You're allowed to make it stand if it's that good a goal.
Yeah.
You get to choose that it stands. That's the hill I'll die on when I take over FIFA. That's what I'll bring in.
Well,
because Shanklin's was a great finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, a real shame for him. But the ground that they are going to, the Toomba Stadium, is actually named after a hillside grave.
This guy's on one tonight, isn't he?
You said the hill that you would die on.
Oh, right, I got you. There we go.
The ground, the Toomba Stadium.
Give me a wee trip out there.
Is named after a hillside grave.
Some knowledge. Every day's a school day with this guy. Colin is a Rangers fan and he is going to come up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are about to bring in Colin, who's on the line. Very quickly, let me check in on this teaser. Thanks again to Big Shane and Wisher. He's looking for the four Scotsmen who've scored more than one direct free kick in the English Premier League. James McFadden, Charlie Adam, and two others.
I'll give you one. Robert Snodgrass.
It's a pleasure to be with this guy. He's got six free kicks. That is good, which means only one to get. We'll get them before the end of the show. Thank you again to Big Shane. And don't forget, you can send your questions in, like Big Shane, to fulltime@clyde1.com. I hope Shane's like 5'9" and it's just puts it out there so everyone thinks he's a monster, but we'll see. Right, let's go to the phones because Colin has been hanging on in bigger for quite some time. Sorry, Colin, take it away.
Good evening, Gordon, Hugh and Cammy.
Hello.
Thanks for having me. First of all, well done, Hugh, on the beat of Bundy.
Unbelievable.
You're very kind, thank you.
Joined an elite crew. Gentlemen, I'd like to discuss the Yanis Hadji situation at Rangers. For me, Hadji's an outstanding player, and I think Beale's very blindsided on this, to be honest. I can't see why we're looking to offload this boy. My ideal in my head, I fit Yanis Hadji, Nicholas Raskin and Cifuentes is my midfield. But the situation with Hadji, he's openly admitted he's not the same player. He was pre-injury. So, in my head, I'd love to see him adopt this quarterback Stephen Davis type role where he can dictate play and he can break at times. I think we're a stronger team with Hadji. and his physique since he's come back for the injury is outstanding.
How does he get in that role ahead of Raskin and Cifuentes? And if you've named that midfield three, is Todd Cantwell playing somewhere further up the pitch, or is he not playing at all?
Cantwell, for me, floats between the front two that's going to clip of Danilo and Dessers.
What do you think, Cammy? The Yanis Hadji debate fascinates me because I think there's such a range based on what we get. I think Colin called them outstanding, and then I think there are others who would say, well, do you know what? No, I think it's okay to let him go.
Yeah, listen, he's a player I would like to see stay at Rangers, to be honest. I think he's had a tough time from injury, and when you get a serious injury like that, it can take you 2-3 years to get back to where you're at, or you might never get back to where you're at. But I genuinely think over time he's young enough. He's 24-year-old. He's still got a lot to offer. He would be a really good squad player for Rangers, especially where they're going to go this season. They're going to have a lot of games to play and a lot of games to navigate.
Where does he fit, right? Because let's take even Collins wants to move him a bit, which I don't even know if that's a possibility. But let's say it was. Is he better than Raskin, Cifuentes, or Jack?
So what I'm saying is he's a squad player. I don't think he, at this moment in time, he gets a starting position in the team. I genuinely don't think that. I think he's going to have to wait his time.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Where on the list is he then? Because even if it's further forward, right, so Todd Cantwell.
Yep. Who's a different league at the moment?
Tom Lawrence now. Michael Beale loves him by the sounds of it, are desperate to see him back. Sam Lammers signed. And then if you're adding the kind of the wider ones in of, Sima, Matondo, whoever it may be, where is he in the pecking order?
Listen, there's a strong squad there, but I think he offers different to a number of them players. I think he's got that little bit of flair. He's can be very adventurous with his play. I don't see him as a wide player. I would like to see him getting on the ball. And
Rangers don't really do that anyway, do they?
No, they don't. And I just think it's a shame at his young age. He's a young player. And to give him maybe another season of trying to see where he can get after that bad injury that he's had and just seeing where this season had went, I would have given him an opportunity. But listen, as you say, they've got a number of players in that sort of midfield area. Tom Lawrence coming back, I think, also probably makes the decision a little bit easier for Michael Beale. But we don't know how long. Again, hopefully Tom Lawrence is fit and stays fit.
What we'll do, Hughes, let's hear Michael Beale's thoughts on it, and then you can give us yours. This is what Michael Beale had to say today on Yanis Hadji.
Glenn's the one who's closest. There's been a lot of hot hair around Yanis, obviously, in the last week or so, but it was a logical conversation if you think about it, that he's missed a year of football. We are very loaded in the positions that he plays, and he wants to know if he's going to be a main starter. He's trained really well, and when he's played, I think, or when he's had an opportunity to play, I think he's done well. But the last few weeks in those positions, I think people have done well. You know, Abdullah and Rabi scored in the week, and Danilo scored, and Dessers has scored, and Lammers has scored. So I think we've already had 7 goal scorers across the 5 or 6 games so far. So in the attacking positions, we're loaded, obviously, with Kamar, Tom Lawrence, and Todd Cantwell as well. So it was a logical conversation that seems to have got out of the building in terms of playing time and guarantees around it. So we'll see. It's got to be right for Yanis, and certainly not dismissing Yanis being inside and being an important player either.
Again, I think Michael Beale dropping a hint that they are loaded in that area of the pitch. I thought his cameo role last week against Morton in the Viaplay Cup was terrific, but prior to that match it had already been decided he wasn't going to be in the European squad for the game against PSV. Therefore, I think that in the long term, Michael Beale sees Hadji leave the club along with Glenn Kamara, and he uses the funds to bring in someone else that he has his mind on.
Would you be open to that, Colin? Is it worth thinking about the business side of it? And if it is then moved on, then Michael Beale signs someone else that he wants more?
See, it's probably in the region of $4 million, probably. They're looking to recoup what they've laid out. So I don't see a better 24-year-old at the moment on the market with that type of potential and skill factor for the same money, Gordon. So, no.
What, would it be for a different profile, Lokami? That's what I wonder. Michael Beale said before he wants a Ryan Kent type, i.e. a dribbler. Maybe something Rangers don't really have. It sounds like it's the Anas Hadji's profile that's the issue here. Michael Beale doesn't think he's a bad player, but he's, as Hugh says, we're loaded in that area. Yeah. Is he better than what they've got? Michael Beale maybe doesn't think so. So would he be looking to spend that money on sort of a different type? And we've heard there on Glenn Kamara as well, he said he's closer to leaving.
Yeah, and I think that's logical, that if Hadji leaves and he looks to use that money on a type of Ryan Jack type of player.
Kent.
Kent, sorry. But again, I just feel as if it is a shame because he's not been given the opportunity to get right up to speed after his injury. He was when he first came to the club, was a very exciting player for a lot of the Rangers fans. And yeah, he's had moments that it's been flashes that it's been there. But I still think he's a quality player and he's young enough. But it looks like the writing's on the wall.
Well, thanks, Colin. We'll see how this plays out. 7 days to go, I think, in the transfer window. Thank you for taking the time. Tomorrow, Hugh, we've obviously discussed County Rangers and Celtic St Johnstone at length. But two other great fixtures for different reasons. Let's start Motherwell, Kilmarnock. There is a lot to like there.
Of course. Who's made a better start, really, than Derek McInnes with Kilmarnock? Coming off the back of putting Celtic out of a cup, a real novelty. They will fancy their chances, and particularly so, I think, because Motherwell unfortunately lost Beerus last weekend to a contentious tackle, if you listen to Stephen Robinson and Stuart Kettlewell. Kilmarnock on the road last season, hopeless. But a different Kilmarnock now at the back with Robbie Dees, Stuart Finlay, Lewis Mayo. They're not losing goals, and I would take them to go away from Motherwell with something. If not 3 points, at least one.
Cammy, who'd be a football manager? Stuart Kettlewell has the big task of replacing Kevin Van Veen. It's not going to be easy to assemble some other strikers together. The one who seems to have caught the eye the most is Mika Beereth, injured against St Mirren, out for 3 months. John Obika's out as well. And yet still, despite the fact that Motherwell have offloaded a number of players, it's still operating on a one-in, one-out policy. Added a new defender yesterday, but that's a blow, isn't it?
Massive blow. Again, losing Van Veen, he was so influential last year. Brilliant, brilliant player, scored so many goals for Motherwell. But yeah, again, when you get a striker in, he's just finding his feet, and then all of a sudden Stuart Kettlewell finds himself with reduced numbers due to injury. It's a tough job. Listen, he knew what he was walking into. Things are tight at Motherwell at the moment, but again, you've got to take your hat off to Stuart Kettlewell. He's doing a fantastic job, and you don't write them off because they're a good, well-organised side, and they've got midfielders that can score goals as well. Spittle in there, who's been really good this season as well. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting game, that, because Kilmarnock have been absolutely flying this season so far.
Yeah, and it's a real intriguing one to see where Kilmarnock are in terms of, you know, lots of people are now looking and saying they could be the top six shout, they could be the dark horse. You know, these games are a different challenge, aren't they? And, you know, can you go and sort of dominate the game a bit more? Can you go and win it? They've been brilliant at you know, the so-called tougher opponents. Yep. Sometimes the lesser opponents, you know, you then need to change the style, I guess.
And it is, it's a completely different style. They'll see more of the ball. Can they create opportunities? And then when they go forward, are they leaving this all wide open? Because they've been very compact against their wins against Rangers and Celtic, and then hit them two teams on the counter attack. But it's different when you play Motherwell. The expectations there now as well. Can they handle that when you've beat the two top sides in the league? Can you go and beat Motherwell away? And Hugh touched on it last season, their away record was horrendous. I know they've got that draw against Hearts, but they need to.
And then, sorry Hugh, and then just the other one before we go, Hibs Livy, because cliche, but you just don't really know what you're going to get with Hibs. No. And they keep digging out big results when they need to. This is sandwiched in between those two Villa games. Goodness knows what it's going to look like next week.
It's unfair, but it's part of our football culture. In this part of the world, there's speculation that if Lee Johnson doesn't win this game tomorrow, he may lose his job.
He's had that a lot, though, hasn't he? Yeah, we never really know.
But last season we did have El Sakiko, and there was talk about him then. I think Hibs cannot go on being pointless and joint bottom of the Premiership. He's got to get a win over Libby tomorrow. He's at home, and you know he has a squad, a decent squad. He's got to get a win.
Brilliant, we're looking forward to it. A 6 hour special for us tomorrow. Thanks again to Big Shane and Wisher for his question tonight. Thanks again to Sliding Wardrobe Solutions, East Kilbride. Make sure you check out their trade counter on Colville Road. We are looking for four Scots who scored more than one direct free kick in the English Premier League: Robert Snodgrass, Charlie Adam and James McFadden. You have got one more to get.
Stuart Armstrong?
No, I thought you just did some sort of celebratory gesture to me because you thought you had it.
No, that's my ten.
Oh, that's my sheet you were kissing
on a bit.
Right, clue time.
Yep, go for it.
Great set piece taker, obviously. More than one spell at Celtic and went down south in between. Now in the management game with one of the clubs that he played for in England. I thought they were wonderful clues.
More than one spell at Celtic.
Aston Villa in between times.
Stan Petrov.
No, the other one. He didn't come back to Celtic though, did he? Who did? Who came back? And by the way, they're Scottish for a start. That's the whole purpose of the question.
I had to make a fool of it at some point.
Former Hibs manager.
Lenny. No.
Oh, what's happening here? Current John Wigan Collins. Manager.
No, Sean Maloney. Jesus, Maloney. Wow.
What chance have I got? Anyway, back tomorrow from noon. It's a 6 hour special. We can't wait. And George is up next on the GBX.